A big part of any dream is fully visualizing it, building social skills, and finding the right partner, because that really is the most important decision you'll make in your life. And this is the scary part, is being more vulnerable. In all the interviews that we've had on the last 12 years and the successful people that have been on the show, self-discipline and routine is a bottom line, runs throughout everyone's life. You know, I sit there and pinch myself, like, why does he want to come on our show? Why does he want to share this with us? But successful people are generous people. They understand that sharing their resources and sharing their journey can help others. And they also understand that the more supportive they are of others, the more that support comes back double to them. A lot of us need to realize that our morning habits are what set us up for that success or failure each and every day.
Hi, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you for deciding to listening to this episode. Thank you for making a conscious decision to be open to learn and improve in order to lead a better life. And even though I have a big mission to help at least 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams, right now, you are the most important person to me. Let's talk relationships and how charismatic, meaningful, and connected conversations will make your life happier, more loving, and successful. Today's guest is one of the world's top relationship development experts and the co-founder of the Art of Charm podcast, where he and John Jubak interviews experts and shares their amazing knowledge focused on developing advanced social skills for top performers. His name is AJ Harbinger, and he has helped thousands of men and women from all around the world to overcome social anxiety, master conversation, develop social capital, and build genuine relationships of the highest quality. So let's welcome AJ Harbinger.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm super excited. And I usually start off very light by asking, who are you really as a person at the core? So can we just start lightly this lovely morning with that?
Absolutely. Well, you know, growing up, a single father raised me, and I'm very introverted and struggled putting together some of the social skills that are necessary to build your social capital, grow your network. And when I got to graduate school, I was struggling with some imposter syndrome and not really connecting with my classmates. I felt like in college I had that magic, and I kind of lost it when I got to graduate school. And as an introvert, not having resources to develop these skills as a kid was scary and frustrating. So I really dug deep into the science of trying to figure out how to make a great first impression, how to connect with people, knowing that not only does hard work matter to your success, but also who you know. And deep down, I'm still an introvert. I tell all of my clients that we work with, and they're a little shocked, obviously, because of the success of the podcast and the coaching services that we provide, talking about social skills. But socializing does drain me. I like quiet time. I like to be by myself. Personally, I enjoy golf. I love entrepreneurship and helping other entrepreneurs succeed and building relationships, quality relationships.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we all struggle with. So I'm super excited for this episode. So how do you get out there? Like, you're super introverted, but you want to talk to women or women with guys and whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Like, how do you get out there and do that, you know?
The easiest conversations are going to be the conversations where there is a shared interest and a commonality. That doesn't mean that means it creates connection, which is a misnomer, and we can dive into that a little bit. Yeah. But the easiest conversations for someone who's introverted is with someone else who has a shared interest. Yeah. So we could talk for hours, days about podcasting, right? Because we both are passionate about podcasting. So for those of you who are struggling with this introversion and want to put yourself out there, start working on developing a new skill, seeking out an interest. And sometimes you don't even know what that is. So try a bunch of different things. I have clients take dancing lessons, guitar lessons, learn the piano, learn a new language, a cooking class. But learning new skills and the pursuit of learning those skills opens up social opportunities that have that little connection built in, where you have a common interest. So you're at a meetup group together. Maybe it's an entrepreneurship meetup group or a real estate investing meetup group, where you have that common interest And those conversations happen a little easier. They're a little more organic. And that gives you an ample opportunity to practice all the skills that we cover on the podcast. How to be a better listener, how to start the conversation, and how to take the conversation deep so it's not just boring small talk. So to set yourself up for success, to practice these skills is creating safe environments with shared interests so that you can showcase your passions and be a little more comfortable. And then we want to work to get more and more outside of that comfort zone. Yeah. So the second layer of that is now starting to engage everyone you interact with on a daily basis. So that's Lyft drivers, that's the barista, that's the clerk at the grocery store, that's the person on the bus next to you. Right? Again, as we talked about, our attention's being sucked into this device.
Yeah.
And many of us are walking around with AirPods, hopefully listening to our podcast. Yeah. But we're not often looking for those little moments to connect. And it just takes practicing starting the conversation to get your feet wet, to get some wins under your belt. And then we'll build up to approaching the opposite sex and nailing that first impression. Yeah. But for a lot of us who are a little less social than we'd like to be, maybe our job requires us to speak more to computers than to humans, we like to say, then we need to start in a safe environment where there is a shared interest so that the conversation sparks a little easier for you.
And do you start with like a script or something in the beginning just to feel comfortable? Or like how, like what's the first step? Because I know some people, they just to go to someone is like a huge thing for them, you know?
So we have a simple conversation formula that we teach, and essentially it's a little math equation that we love. A lot of our clients, as you can imagine, are a little analytical, and that analysis has been rewarded in their career. Yeah. They've become very successful for their analysis, but that analysis doesn't serve us when we're trying to connect in a conversation. So the conversation formula is simply ask someone a question. Now, the nuance is we don't want the question to be a yes or no question. We want the question to be like, how'd you hear about this event? What brought you here today? Oh, who do you know at this event? So it creates a space and an opportunity for the other person to share, and it's using your curiosity to spark that conversation. Now, here's where the important part happens. They're going to give us an answer to the question. We have to listen to that answer from a nonverbal perspective, what's going on with their facial expressions, what's going on with their body language, as well as the words. And then the way we relate to them is in the form of a statement. So the third step in the formula, we ask the question, we listen to their answer. Step number three is we actually say something about ourselves. Oh, you know, I've never met that person, or this is my first time coming to this event. I just found it on Meetup. Whatever that disclosure is, we want it to be a statement. And that breaks us out of the question train where we're just interviewing the other person. We're not adding anything to the conversation. And at the end of it, the person feels a little defensive because they're like, why is this guy asking me so many questions? I don't know anything about him. He's a complete stranger to me. So that formula we use on the street, we use at a networking event. We even use socially if we're trying to talk to women. Yeah. And it's not about memorizing. It's about understanding the frame that conversation happens when both parties are adding. And questions, as humans, we are wired to answer others' questions because we are a community-based species. Our survival depends on it. So even if we're walking down the street, you know, I was coming up here in Santa Monica on the street and someone asked me for directions. And I was in my phone trying to look up the address here to get your contact information. And still, just that question pulled me out of my phone and I said, oh, I'm not actually very familiar with Santa Monica. I don't spend much time on the West Side. I think it's this way. And you'll find that people are wired to respond to your questions first. So those are the easiest icebreakers, are simple questions that are not yes, no questions, but allow the other person to just share a little something.
That's awesome. And on the other hand, let's talk about those people that attract the wrong people in their life. How do you change that? Let's say you're an alpha male and always attract party girls, or you're a party girl and always attract those bad guys, or whatever it might be. Like, how do you shift that perspective? Because that's also a thing that a lot of people are struggling with, and we don't talk about that much, right?
Yeah.
Because we think they got it, but not always, right?
So, you know, growing up, my dad used to take me and my sister up to our uncle's lake house up north in Michigan. And we'd go out fishing with my uncle and we'd drop the line in and wait for a few bites. And then, oh, if there's not a few bites or if the fish are small, we'd go to a different part of the lake. A lot of us don't realize that we're getting the same results because we're only focusing on things in the same environment. So if you find yourself attracting toxic people or people that are not a good fit for you, the first thing to do is change your environment where you're meeting people. And be thoughtful about this, right? If whether it's a partner or a friend, think about what are the personality traits and qualities that you would like to have in your relationship from someone else. Then, after you have those qualities, think about, okay, if someone had those qualities, where would they be likely to hang out? Would they be going to nightclubs and partying, or would they be going to the gym to work out? Or would they be going to that meetup group to get that education? Or would they be going to an entrepreneur event to work on their networking? So first you understand, what are the qualities of the person I'd like to attract into my life, whether platonically or romantically, and then change where you're fishing, right? Start fishing where those quality people are and start creating opportunities to connect there. That will first and foremost change and break you out of that pattern that's frustrating you right now. The second thing is, oftentimes we attract what we're putting out there. So it does take some self-reflection. Are there some negative, needy behaviors that you're exhibiting? And we call these low value behaviors. And I'll give you three examples. The first low value behavior is supplicative. And supplicative, and to supplicate, is the please like me mentality. You'll change your answer because you don't want to offend the other person, or you don't want them to view you negatively or disagree with you. So you're always agreeable. You're like, yeah, I love that too. Oh, karate, I love karate too. Oh yeah, Sweden, I've been to Sweden. And you're just always trying to please the other person. That's actually a low value behavior, and that's going to attract low value people into your life. The second low value behavior we talk about in our bootcamp courses and on the podcast is someone who is combative. Someone who's looking for the fight, the argument, who's looking to challenge people. That combative behavior, and sometimes in the alpha male setting, you'll see this, and it's physical, right? Yeah. It's like shouting and it's an altercation. Sometimes when we get frustrated and we don't think about it, we are in that low value state. We are being combative with other people, which again is gonna attract the wrong type of person to us. The third low value state that a lot of us may not even think is low value because it has rewarded us in our life is competitive. And this is the one-upper. This is like, oh, nice watch, that was my last one. Or, oh, I love your shirt, I just got rid of it. Or, oh, you went to that school, well, I went here. Oh, you had your honeymoon here, well, we went here. And just that one-upmanship, right? Always looking for that edge to compete constantly may help you in your career, may help you on the sports field, may help you in the dojo, but it's not gonna help you in connecting with other people. And there are moments that these behaviors will present themselves. I'm not saying that every situation you're supplicative, or every situation you're combative, or even every situation you're competitive. But oftentimes, if you're attracting the wrong people, there's a trigger that's creating this behavior in you, and these are what you're exhibiting to others that's bringing in the wrong people. High value people who we strive to be are cooperative. They're people who look to support others first, not look to one up. They look to give, whether it's time, resources, connections, to others. And they're not looking for what they get in return. And that's what we need to strive for, is to be more cooperative. The more cooperative you are, the more you're going to attract high value people into your life and remove those people of low value.
I love that. And I also think, when we talk about these high values, I try and aim to be that person every day. But I remember when I started that shift from low value to high value, sometimes I had limiting beliefs that people would take advantage of me, that this is not the right way. People would see me as weak, but now I see that it's the opposite. So what do you want to say to people that have those limiting beliefs that people will take advantage of them if they're too kind or giving or like those kind of things?
That will always be the case, and I'm not saying be a doormat. Yeah. There are always going to be low value people who look to get something from your cooperativity and your giving mindset. That should never guard you from stopping to be generous or stopping to give. Yeah. But we want to be smart in who we let in and who we let out. Yeah. And I really have a three strikes policy. Yeah. You know, growing up watching the Detroit Tigers, for me, you know, and listen, there will be moments where I get stressed and I'm low value and I'm combative because someone cut me off in the car, right? So everyone gets a first strike, you know, it happens. Second strike, okay. Third strike, it starts to tell me something about your character. So if I feel that you've taken advantage of me three times, I'm going to withdraw from the relationship. I'm not going to give you my time and my resources. And in my mind, three is a great opportunity for that person to show you their real character. And that allows you to not be judgmental and turn people away and just focus on, you know, what you have and not giving. But you also have to understand, and this is the thing, along the last 12 years, you know, I've had some bad relationships. I've had some bad business relationships with partners that did not end well. But I still feel the sum total of the 12 years that I've been able to get here through our generosity, our willingness to come on other shows, support other people in their mission, welcome them on our show. And that always, again, and this is something that Gary Vee talks about a lot too, and he's gone big on generosity, which I love. You know, this is not a short-term thing. This is a long game, right? This is a marathon we're running. This is your life. And when people look back on their life, they don't look back on the person who took a little bit from them or the person who took advantage. They look back fondly on all the gifts that they've been able to give other people.
No, I totally agree with you. And is it the same in relationships? You know, because when you go out and we talk to people, everybody has a nice shirt. Everybody goes to the gym. Like, how do you set yourself apart to attract someone that you really want to talk to, you know?
So a big thing, it comes down to your vulnerability and ability to share stories. Yeah. So one of the core concepts in our boot camp, actually the last day, is all built around heroic narrative building, so that you, as the hero in your own story, can share some vulnerability, some of your journey, and some of your goals, where you want to be aspirationally. And the more comfortable you can be with that vulnerability and sharing that story, the easier it is to break out of the small talk loop that a lot of us find ourselves in, asking the same questions, saying the same things about the weather and Santa Monica and the birds on the street, all that stuff that everyone just, you know, is on autopilot. Yeah. And breaking out of that autopilot for a lot of us is sharing something about ourselves and being connected and being present in that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting, the human interaction. And do you believe that you need relationships to be happy? Like, what's your opinion about that?
The science is in, you know, and I'm not one to debate or argue science, that loneliness kills. Yeah. Loneliness leads to the depression that we're seeing in these crazy suicide rates. Flip side of that is purpose and meaning comes from connection. And there's that famous Harvard happiness study that delves deeply into this exact thing, that the more connected you are, the more focused on community and relationships you are, the happier you are. And listen, life is not just about happiness, but there are a lot of amazing things that happen to you physiologically when you feel connected to someone, when you get that oxytocin, when you get that dopamine and you get that serotonin for the right reasons. And a lot of us, unfortunately, are getting that artificially stimulated through our screens and sometimes through substances. But human connection, there is no replacement for when it comes to our happiness and well-being.
Yeah, but how do you make those day-to-day decisions? You know, when you're sitting at work, you're working on this amazing project, your boss is like on your ass, and you're like, I gotta go home to my family, but I gotta finish this too. And I know there's a lot of people that will say, yeah, my family can wait a little bit. And that hour turns into, you know, weeks and months, and all of a sudden you're sitting there with a divorce and say, what the fuck happened? Like, how do you make those decisions when you have to make them, if you know what I mean?
Well, it starts with creating habits around the life that you want to live. And those habits become behaviors that ultimately become your character. So that means figuring out in the morning how to be more productive, understanding that you need a hard out and a boundary in your life, and you don't need to bring work home. You don't need to be 24/7 on. And I know it's difficult in a space, especially in the startup community, as a youngster who's starting their career, to see all of your coworkers doing that. And, you know, even the perks of unlimited vacation, they're showing that people are taking less vacation because of that, because it's so hyper competitive. But your productivity is tied to your happiness and well-being as well. And science has shown that if you are not able to unplug, your productivity, your performance suffers. And you look at the most successful people in the world, and they wall off and guard their time for education, for reading, for learning, for deep thinking. You can't do that if you're in the hyper 24/7 turned on, I have to be in front of my computer world. And there are always going to be decisions that need to be made. But these decisions influence your character. Do you want to build an amazing family, or are you solely focused on your career successes? And some people find meaning in that, but many of us are not going to find meaning and purpose in that. We're going to come back to our families, to our homes, and that's really where it's going to come from.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
But it's a struggle. I'm not saying it's easy by any means.
It's so hard. We just look at the statistics, right? It's like the core, I think it's part like the core values we have, or I think most people have their core values, but they have a hard time like always following them. Like with everything else, right? I'm going to start writing a book, I'm going to go to the gym. Like, how do we work to like to keep carry those habits day after day?
So oftentimes, when you think about the habit, whether it's a good habit or a bad habit, you take a step back and there's a trigger for that behavior. And for some of us, that trigger might mean the second I walk in my apartment and I'm done with a long day, I grab a donut. Yeah. For some of us, it might mean I turn on the TV. For some of us, it might mean I go for a run. The difference between those three people is that first action when they get home is primed by something, whether it's the refrigerator is next to the door, their gym shoes are next to the door, or the TV remote is next to the door. So you need to look at your behaviors, especially the behaviors and habits you want to change, and think about what are the triggers that are leading to this? Is there stress that is leading to me making this poor decision? Then I need to think about mitigating that stress or allowing myself by putting the gym shoes next to the door to make that decision as easy as possible. And for me, you know, I really focused on my physical health over the last couple of years. I had a health scare with stress and cortisol and high blood pressure. And my dad passed away of a heart attack. So heart health has been really concerning to me. So talking to my doctor, it was like, okay, you got to make big changes in your diet and you got to make big changes in the way you deal with work stress. And that meant, okay, I need to carve out space for physical health. I need to carve out space to make better decisions around food. So for me, that meant removing all snack foods from the house and removing anything that involved processed food going in a microwave and making sure that, okay, if I know that at the end of the day, I'm going to be stressed and I'm just going to reach for whatever's in front of me, then I got to have Instacart deliver a bag of apples every Monday so that the first thing I see is that bag of apples. And it was the same thing with the gym. It was, you know what? I know in the morning, there are a zillion things on my mind and there are a number of excuses to not go to the gym. So putting my gym clothes out, ready to go when I wake up, it's the first thing I see. And now it's just become routine. I'm putting on my gym clothes before I even brush my teeth. And okay, well now my clothes are on, I'm that step closer to my end goal. So, you know, we had Charles Duhigg on the show, Power of Habit. He dug deeply into the science and we had a great episode around habit building. And for most of us, we're trying to break bad habits, but we don't realize that you can't break habits, you can only replace habits. And the replacement happens around that trigger. And we can't remove the trigger, we have to mitigate the trigger and understand what is the trigger in order for those behaviors to happen and change.
Yeah, that's huge. And I'm curious, I wrote a book about goal setting, so I'm curious, how do you work with goals?
So, love the book Traction, the entrepreneurial operating system, all around building out quarterly goals, rocks, and then breaking it down into weekly activities that will get you closer to your goal, and then doing a 3-month assessment of, okay, what goals did we meet? What goals didn't we meet? And then placing another set of goals 3 months ahead of you. So that essentially your year is broken into quarters. I've done that in the business, had success with it, and now I've been looking to do that personally. The other thing for me is now, and this is something that, you know, I learned from Mark Zuckerberg, was setting a big audacious goal for the year. So last year it was running a half marathon. I'd never done a half marathon. I'm not a runner at all. When I met my girlfriend Amy 5.5 years ago, she had just finished a half marathon. So she was on that high. We were talking about it when we met. And, you know, flirty AJ was like, I would love to run a half marathon with you. Well, took about 5 years, but we ended up running the half marathon together. So I've always tried to attach now a big goal on my year that's personal and professional. that have allowed me, with the quarterly goals plus that big goal, to feel accomplished at the end of the year.
That's awesome. And the last question is something that I ask all my guests, because we're all about sharing journeys, and today has been so many tools. But what should people listening or watching this podcast do right after to get a little bit closer to their dream? What would be the best tool you can give them?
Well, a big part of any dream is fully visualizing it. And a lot of us, you know, are being pulled in all these different directions. But you don't realize this important tool you have upstairs, your brain and the power behind it. And just sitting and deeply thinking about the goal that you have and what that success looks, feels, tastes like. Like, if you reach that goal, what will that be? And sitting there and really visualizing it so that your mind can actually wrap its head around it and see it from every angle. That crystallizes the goal and allows you and your subconscious to fire ahead with so much momentum that the goal is more attainable. And whether it's, you know, for me, I was trying to learn how to play golf and we were doing visualization exercises, or even in business with my business coach, we do visualization exercises around, you know, if we reach these goals, what do I want to look, feel, and think about the business? And a lot of us aren't spending the time deep in thought around the visualization. We're just sort of like, okay, well, this would be a cool goal, and that would be a cool, oh, this person said this. But until you can really think truly about what the end result is and feel it and visualize it, it's gonna be a lot harder to attain.
That's huge. And in order to do that, you have to take your phone out and put it away, right?
Turn off the TV, close the laptop, and just sit there in your thoughts and think about the sensations, the emotions you'll be feeling if you reach that goal. What will be the outcomes? How will the people around you view you? All of those things really power your subconscious mind to reach harder, to push through those moments of self-doubt, those moments of regression, those moments of failure.
That's awesome. And even though it is scary to leave your phone, please do it. And I mean, even sometimes take a walk without your phone, right?
It can airplane be, mode. Yeah, airplane I'm a mode. Big yeah. advocate of airplane yeah. mode. Turn it on airplane mode and just allow yourself a moment to not be so connected.
Yeah. AJ, thank you so much for coming on here and sharing your journey, everything you have learned. It will help a lot of people. And we are super grateful that you have this amazing company called The Art of Charm. So if people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, if you're listening to this podcast, open up your podcast device, your podcast software, and search The Art of Charm. You'll find us there. You can also go to theartofcharm.com. If you're looking to improve your social skills and you want a simple, fun challenge and tap into our community that we've built at The Art of Charm, you can check out theartofcharm.com/challenge. It's 10 days all around understanding where you are, setting some social goals for yourself, and really stepping outside your comfort zone.
That's awesome. And we're going to share those links in the show notes, so everybody, you can just click and get over there right now. And thank you guys for listening to this episode. It means the world to me. And as I told you many times before, I want to help at least 10 million people to go after their dreams. But for me, every person counts. That's just a number. You are the most important person to me right now. So if you like what we do, share this with someone so they also can take advantage of this amazing conversation we just had. Thanks again, and catch you guys next week. Bye-bye.